Some time ago, a failure of electric generators threw much of the United States into total blackout. But the amazing fact is that the entire world will soon be thrown into pitch darkness for 1,000 years. More in a moment. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Say, how would you like to be seated before a gigantic stage about 2,000 feet wide and see there portrayed before you the final destiny of every man, woman, and child in the world? Well, that's exactly what God's going to do today as we enter into the study of the great millennial period of prophecy. God will actually draw the curtain aside and give us a graphic view of the final destiny of every human being who's lived since time began. Now, many people think of Christianity as growing and increasing until the very end of the age. In fact, multitudes believe that eventually all people will be converted in some golden age of millennial peace. Now, I wish this picture could really be true, but it is exactly the opposite of what the Bible actually teaches. We're told that the world will become more God-defying and sinful until finally God has to intervene and destroy it. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." And then in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, we read of 19 prevailing sins that will mark the last days of this earth's history. And Paul says, perilous times would come. Men would be lovers of their own selves, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. No, the picture of a temporal millennium is just a dream, and we're not interested in dreams and fancies. We want to know the facts. We want to know what the future really holds for this poor old sin-racked world of ours. We're not going to make any great startling claims today, but every point will be established on the plain Word of God. You can be sure of that. Why don't you mark it down and read these things in your own Bible as we go along in our study today? Now, the word millennium is not even found in the Bible at all. It's a word taken from two Latin words, mille and annum, which really means literally 1,000 years. And we read mostly about this event in Revelation chapter 20. It describes the windup of things earthly. And there are two points we want to establish clearly by the Word of God. When will the millennium begin, and when will it end? Now, we'll discover that this doctrine of the millennium clusters closely around the Bible doctrine of the resurrection from the dead. In Revelation 20, verse 6, we read, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So here is the beginning of the millennium, and it takes place with a resurrection. Certain people are brought from their graves and begin their 1,000-year reign with Jesus. And who are these people? The Bible describes them as blessed and holy. In other words, they're the righteous ones of all the ages who'll be raised up to begin their 1,000 years of rule with Christ. Now, this clearly establishes then that only good people will have a part in the first resurrection. And it also establishes that this resurrection of the righteous marks the beginning of the 1,000 years. But friends, if the good people only come up in the beginning of the millennium, if only the good people come up at that time, when do the wicked people come forth? Let's read another verse now in Revelation 20, verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, here again, we find that only the good people who do not have the mark of the beast will be brought forth to reign with Christ for this 1,000 years. But now go on to the next verse, verse 5. "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." Now, who would the rest of the dead be? Well, that has to be the wicked, of course. The good people came up first, and now the rest of the dead will come up at the end of the 1,000 years. So what do we find then at this point? We have a period of 1,000 years with the resurrection at the beginning and a resurrection at the end. The good people are raised at the beginning. The wicked people are brought up at the end of that millennial period. Now, This agrees perfectly with what Jesus had to say in John 5, 28 and 29. He said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in their grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So here we have the resurrection of good people and the resurrection of wicked. But there is 1,000 years in between. Please notice this. Mark it down. It's so very, very important to remember. Now our next question is this. When will the first resurrection take place in which all the righteous are involved? Reading now in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we find the answer to that question. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So there it is. It's at the second coming of Jesus that the good people are brought forth out of their graves. And it says that they rise first. In other words, that's the first resurrection. When Jesus comes down from heaven with a shout and all the angels with him, the trumpet blows, the graves are opened, and all the righteous are brought forth at the same time. And this actually introduces a 1,000-year reign of Christ. It begins, in other words, at his second coming. Now, at this time, there will be four groups of people to deal with. And we'd like to know what happens to each of these groups at the coming of Jesus: the righteous living and the righteous dead, the wicked living and the wicked dead. What happens to all those groups at that time? First of all, let's think of the righteous dead. Now, we've already discovered that they come forth from their graves. But, friends, how will they arise? Will they come forth in the same weak, diseased forms in which they went into the graves? No. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us of a tremendous change that will take place at that time. Beginning with verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Oh, friends, we'll be given new bodies that can never die. Spiritual bodies that'll be like that of Jesus after his resurrection. So there'll be no more pain, no more suffering after this glorious resurrection takes place. But now we ask, what about the righteous who are living here on the earth when Jesus comes? And the answer to that is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Oh, what a reunion day this pictures for us, friends. All the righteous people going up there to meet Jesus in the cloud. You see, the feet of Jesus will not touch the earth at that time. He comes in the clouds, and all the good people are caught up to meet him there in the clouds. The resurrected righteous with their new immortal bodies will be there. And then the righteous living, who will also be changed into the same glorious form, they'll go up to meet him in the clouds and to be reunited with their loved ones for all eternity to come. Well, I can't begin to picture the rapture of that moment, friends, when loved ones are going to see each other again after a long separation. Where do these righteous ones go after they meet Jesus up in the air in the clouds? That, of course, is a very good question because it's been often misunderstood. In John 14, 2 and 3, Jesus made this wonderful promise, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, please notice that Christ promised to come back and take his people to a place that he would get ready for them. Well, that place, of course, is the beautiful New Jerusalem in heaven itself. So after his coming, he actually takes the saints with him to that heavenly home that's been prepared especially for them. Now, this explains it for the righteous people. They'll spend their 1,000 years right there in heaven with Jesus. Now, I've heard some people say that the righteous do not really go back to heaven at all with Jesus at this time. Some have said, well, they just go over on the other side of a hill, they come back down onto this earth again and remain right here during the 1,000 years. Well, this is not what we've discovered so far in our study. Jesus said he'd go to get a place ready, and then he would take those faithful ones to that place. But now, what about the wicked people who are on the earth at the coming of Christ? Now, first of all, let's think of the wicked people who were in their graves at that time. We've already discovered that they will not come forth until the end of the 1,000 years. Remember, Revelation 25 said, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So they simply remain in their graves without any change whatsoever taking place at the coming of Jesus. But please notice that something does happen to the wicked who are living here on the earth at that time. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, we read, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Listen, sin cannot exist in the presence of God. So the wicked will run to those rocks and mounds and pray for them to fall on them and hide them from the presence of Jesus. And my friends, sinners will be struck down when he appears. Wherever they're found in the earth, they'll simply fall as though struck by 1,000 volts of electricity. You see, because sin is in their lives, they cannot live in the presence of Jesus. And so their bodies will be left scattered all over this earth, according to Jeremiah 25:33. Notice how it's pictured by the prophet as he saw it in vision. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. Now here's a good question, friends. Why will those people not be gathered? Why will they not be grieved over? Why, for the simple reason that there's nobody left here on the face of the earth to do it. The righteous are all in heaven with Jesus. The wicked dead remain in their graves at his coming. And the wicked who are slain must lie where they fall. The earth will be emptied of all its inhabitants during this 1,000-year period. Now you can imagine, my friends, what a desolation this earth will present during the millennial period. It will look like a vast no man's land with not a single living human being here. And the chaos will be indescribable. Listen to Jeremiah's description of it in Jeremiah 4:23-26. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. Oh, yes, at the coming of Jesus, there's a great earthquake which caused cities to crumble. In fact, you'll read about that in the book of Revelation. Hailstones weighing 57 pounds crashing down and destroying all the dwellings on this earth. Islands will disappear. Mountain ranges will be shaken down by it all. Yes, we're told here the earth will be wrapped in darkness. We have no conception of that terrible condition. Some time ago, the electric generators failed on the East Coast and through much of the United States and Canada into total darkness. But my friends, here's a time when the whole world is going to be thrown into total darkness for a period of 1,000 years. The land will be desolate, Jeremiah says, and the ruined earth will remain here in that state of darkness. Well, for a complete script on the material presented during this special series on the millennium, friends, why don't you write and ask for my book entitled Satan in Chains? It covers all the material that I presented during this series. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.